Hello, and welcome to Feedback with Earbuds, a podcast recommendation podcast. I'm your host, Arielle Nissenblatt, and I'm the founder of Earbuds Podcast Collective. Earbuds is a weekly email newsletter that sends you a themed list of five podcast episodes, and each week is curated by a different person. Anyone can curate a list. Learn more and subscribe to the newsletter at earbudspodcastcollective.org. On this podcast, we'll follow the format of our newsletter. You'll learn about the curator of the week, their chosen theme, and the five episodes that they've selected as part of that theme. We'll also have some more podcast-related stuff thrown in here and there. Hopefully, you'll find a new podcast or two to check out. So, let's get into it. What are we listening to this week? Today, we want to tell you about alternative assets. There's a million newsletters about stocks and VCs, yet alternative assets gives you information on options that are not talked about as much. Follow along as their founder explores different alternative assets. Think NFTs, sneakers, and trading cards. You can sign up for the Alternative Assets newsletter at alternativeassets.club. That's alternativeassets.club. Right now in your inbox, you'll find an email from us with the subject line, Inside the Creative Musical Mind. This week's theme comes to us from Dana Rogers, a Nashville-based songwriter, queer indie pop artist, and producer of the Pitch List podcast. Through Dana's podcast picks, we'll hear stories about the songwriting process, how one music icon can single-handedly bridge together a divided America, the beautiful voice of a country singer on the rise, and so much more. After our podcast recommendations from Dana, we're bringing you a chat between me and Jay Connor. Jay is an LA-based writer, producer, and consultant who's the founder of Extraordinary Ideas, and he's the co-host slash producer of the popular podcast, The Extraordinary Negroes. He's also a staff writer at The Root. His work has also been featured in outlets such as The New York Times, Huffington Post, MSNBC, Pitchfork Media, SiriusXM Radio, NPR, and at South by Southwest. We will talk to Jay about how he began his work in the podcast space, about being an advocate for people of color in audio, his event series, which is called The Night of Extraordinary Ideas, and so much more. That chat with Jay will be later in our show. But first, let's talk about this week's podcast picks from Dana Rogers. Here's why Dana chose this theme. Dana writes, creative people are some of the craziest, most fascinating, and empathetic people we know. What's going on inside their minds? Let's dive deep with these five podcasts, featuring some fascinating musicians and songwriters. The first episode is from Switched on Pop and is called Carly Rae Jepsen, Meeting the Muse. Okay, so Carly Rae Jepsen makes great music. We all know this because in 2011, the hit song Call Me Maybe came out and it has not stopped playing in our heads ever since. That song is pure nostalgia. Everyone was dancing to it. It's one of the ultimate old school girl jams for millennials and Gen Z and even beyond. Maggie Rogers, who's definitely not a pop artist, loves Carly Rae Jepsen and has done a lot of collaboration work with her. Anyways, the podcast we're talking about, Switched on Pop, dives into how pop hits work magic on our ears and on our culture. Carly Rae Jepsen is the guest. And Jepsen is actually the inspiration behind this podcast, explains musicologist and co-host Nate Sloan. The next episode is from a podcast called Song Chronicles with Louise Goffin, and the episode is called Desmond Child. What's funny is that as a kid, I always thought that musicians and artists just casually wrote their own songs completely by themselves. Like, maybe they were sitting on their beds or hanging out on their couches and they had a pen and paper in their hands and they just wrote hits after hits after hits. And while that definitely is true in a lot of cases, most artists work with songwriters or even a team of songwriters to make their music, especially for the big hits. And in this episode, songwriter and music producer Louise Goffin speaks with Desmond Child, the genre-defying songwriter and producer from the songwriting capital of the world, Nashville, Tennessee. He's had five decades of number one hits and has worked with artists like Cher, Ricky Martin, Katy Perry, Kiss, and Barbra Streisand. But in this episode, he gets into the songwriting process, what it's like working with the artists he's collaborated with, and what circumstances in life inspired some of his greatest hits. Next up, we're listening to a series from Radiolab called Dolly Parton's America. The first episode, and the one that we're focusing on, is called Sad Ass Songs. What a great episode title. So this is one of the greats. This brilliantly narrated and produced 11-part series on Dolly Parton takes a deep dive into the country singer's life by exploring her childhood, the TV show that made her famous, how she wrote over 5,000 songs, and the real meaning behind her hit single, Jolene. Hosts Jad Abumrad and Shima Oliai actually get to sit down with Dolly to talk about almost every pivotal moment in her life, from her spiritual awakening, to how she wrote 9 to 5, to her feelings on being an icon for a very divided America, and so much more. A warning for you listeners, you may only want to listen to Dolly songs for a very long time after you listen to this series. The next recommendation comes from the podcast Pitch List, and the episode is called Jesse Alexander. Our curator Dana produces this show. Here's the description. Hosted by hit songwriter Chris Lindsay, this Nashville-based podcast invites you into a beautifully intimate conversation on everything you need to know about songwriting. Like what makes writing songs and making music so magical, what makes a big hit resonate across genres, and more. This episode features Jesse Alexander, who's worked with Miley Cyrus and Blake Shelton. And the last recommendation of the week isn't so much a podcast episode, but rather an NPR Tiny Desk concert in your ear featuring the British artist Yola. I saw a tweet last week that was like, if I was NPR, I'd simply get a bigger desk. But because they have a tiny desk, we get tiny desk concerts. So here we go. Yola's music is so beautiful and fun and lives in this country soul R&B space. She's toured with Kacey Musgraves, which automatically speaks to how great she is, being a Black, British, female country singer. So definitely make sure to take a listen to this Tiny Desk concert. Thank you to Dana Rogers for choosing these podcasts as part of this week's Earbuds theme, Inside the Creative Musical Mind. We'll have a link in the show notes of this episode to all of the podcasts that we mentioned up above. In addition to our weekly 5 podcast picks, we also like to spotlight a podcast at the bottom of our newsletter. The idea is that if you have no interest at all in this week's theme, you can still check out the Spotlight podcast for some more audio content. Podcasters, if you want your podcast spotlit in our newsletter in this section and on the homepage of our website, we have an application link in the show notes of this episode. So this week, we're hearing from our newsletter and podcast coordinator, Maya, who spotlit NPR's Daily Science podcast, which is called Shortwave. Here's what Maya writes about Shortwave. What I love most about this podcast is that it creates accessibility within the world of scientific discovery by providing listeners with digestible, bite-sized information, allowing everyone to be part of this awesome, jaw-dropping world that is science. I especially recommend the episode, Is the Sperm Race a Fairy Tale? Because it's co-hosted by my talented friend, Ariella Zabetti. Thank you so much, Maya, for choosing this week's Spotlight. Let's get into my chat with Jay Connor. I told you a little bit about Jay earlier in this episode, so we're just going to jump right on in. Here we go. Jay Connor, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me from sunny Los Angeles.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure, friend.
So let's get into it, Jay. Tell me about what first got you into the podcast space and when.
What initially got me into the podcasting space was it was 2016. I was in my first writing room and I was thinking, like, how can I get more writing opportunities and create as many opportunities as possible? So I realized, like, if you become like a thing, if you become popular, that you have more opportunities. So like if Lady Gaga tomorrow says, I want to open a bowling alley, people are going to be throwing money at her. And I thought, OK, well, how can I make myself as popular as possible as quickly as possible? And I thought, you know what? Let me start a podcast. Because I think right around then, they weren't, you know, the big boom that they are now, obviously. But, you know, they were becoming more and more popular. So I launched the show and I accomplished my goal.
Love that. It's always great to set out and then accomplish a goal. Tell me about the show. Give me a 30-second description of the podcast.
Okay. Well, the name of the show is The Extraordinary Negroes. And on it, we infuse humor in order to address a number of serious topics, kind of like, you know, a barbershop approach to a lot of things that are going on in the world. So we just try to, you know, talk about things that are relevant in our community, but also sometimes just, you know, have a little bit of levity. You know what I'm saying?
What was the first podcast that you ever listened to, if you can remember?
I'm really not sure, but I think the first podcast that I can remember was the Combat Jack Show. I was immediately, for people who have not listened to it, Combat Jack is one of the pioneers in the space. A lot of Black podcasters refer to him as the Podfather because he opened the doors for so many of us to flourish within the space. And with the Combat Jack Show, he interviewed, you know, a lot of the biggest names and legends in hip hop. And for me, it really opened my eyes because I wasn't, well, one, I got to learn about a lot of artists, you know, a lot of information about artists that I didn't already know. But more importantly, I was always enamored and fascinated by his interview skills and how thoroughly he researched stuff. So he was one of my heroes, and I always wanted to bring him on the show. And sadly, months before he died, he was supposed to come on our show, but I messed that up bad. That's a story in and of itself. But I messed that up because he literally was like, y'all, I want to come on. And I was like, eh, not right now. In part because I was, honestly, the reason why I declined is because I wasn't prepared. And like his thing was preparation. And I was like, I can't have somebody who is such a masterful interviewer and then me do a rushed interview. I was like, you know, I need, you know, some time to do my research and, you know, come up with some dope questions and really put my all into this. And he was like, cool, you know, next time we'll definitely line it up. And, you know, we were in communication via text and, you know, staying in contact, but shortly after he died. So I never had the opportunity to have him on the show.
So Combat Jack was the first podcast you listened to. And just give us a quick, what goes on in the Combat Jack podcast?
He talks to, you know, some of the biggest names in hip hop and sometimes R&B, and sometimes he has sports figures on there and entertainment and stuff like that. So it's just, you know, a one-on-one situation. Initially, it was like more of like a communal. He had, you know, Dallas Penn, he had Just Blaze, he had a lot of people on there, DJ Ben Amin, Premium Pete on there. But towards the end of the show, it primarily focused on Combat Jack and him just interviewing these amazing, profoundly talented people in the hip hop and R&B space.
As a fan of the show, do you find that you go back and re-listen to some episodes?
For me, it's always evergreen content. It's always something to study because I think there was a good, like, you know, when I was recording heavily, all I would listen to was podcasts. I would never listen to music. And for me, it was just like homework. You know what I mean? It was just like, if I wasn't recording my show, I was listening to everybody else's to see what works and what didn't. And with his show specifically, I definitely think it's evergreen. It's still relevant. There's still, you know, so many gems and things that can be taken from it. So it's definitely, I definitely don't feel like it's something that, you know, if you didn't listen to it now, you know, like a lot of news type stuff, if you didn't listen to it at the moment, then it doesn't really have, you know, much value to you or relevancy to you currently. But yeah, I definitely feel like his shows are timeless and he contributed just so much to the space. I mean, he gave us so many shows like Brilliant Idiots and the Tax Stone Show and Angela Rye's show. And I mean, like for a minute, you know, the Loudspeakers Network, the network he founded, was the biggest Black, you know, POC podcast network out there. That was like the Def Jam of podcasting. So everybody and their mom was trying to get on there. So, you know, he's definitely a pioneer and I always make it a point to give it up to him. Shout out to Combat Jack.
That's so nice. Thank you for sharing that. So that was the first podcast that you listened to, a big inspiration for you. What are you listening to now in the year 2021?
Whew. Let me check my phone. I know that I definitely listen to a lot of Questlove Supreme. I'm a big music head, so I appreciate, you know, all the people he has on there. I just listened to the episode with Mariah Carey. That was a two-parter. Ooh. And he always has like the best guests. And I think the thing that I love about him is that like he's a music nerd like me. So he goes super in depth about like what, you know, drum patches did you use or, you know, what were you thinking about when you sampled this? So to me, I like stuff like that. So Questlove Supreme is definitely a favorite. I like Drink Champs too, in part because I like, Nori is not the greatest interviewer. And in fact, he's pretty terrible. And the audio quality on that show kills me. But he always gets, the thing that I love about Drink Champs is that he interviews, you know, hip hop legends, people that have like 10 plus years in the game. And the thing that I love about his show specifically is that he's friends, like really good friends with almost everybody who comes on the show. So he gets people to be more relaxed and calm than they will be on any other show. Not only are they drinking, but that's their friends. So you can hear, you know, 50 Cent or somebody like that interview a million times, but the interview he gives Nori will be entirely different. They'll be talking about like stories from when they were touring in the 90s and all kinds of stuff. So I'm a big fan of that. I also listen to a lot of like sports podcasts. I listen to Dunked On. I listen to Hollinger and Duncan. There's just so many out there. I'm a big fan of music snobs. I definitely try to, I think in the past, I spent so much time studying podcasts that I didn't get to take the time to enjoy them. And now I'm at a stage in life where I really try to just sit down and like listen to stuff that I actually want to like enjoy, like I would like a TV show. So music and sports definitely dominate my life. So my listening habits are reflective of that.
Very nice. Very different from my subscribe podcast. I'm very much like on the news circuit and on the deep dive stories about like weird architectural things. So we on the Venn diagram, we are like complete circles separate from each other.
We are. Primarily, I really have been listening to just sports and music stuff just to kind of take my mind off everything going off in the world. And especially since with me being a journalist, I need a break from the news.
Switching gears a little bit. Tell me about your event series that I've attended a few of the events. I know before the pandemic, we were planning to do an event together and we're still on hold there.
We're still going to do it though. We're still going to do it though. We're still going to do it.
I think we had a meeting in March of 2020.
Seriously. Yeah. And then everything went to hell, but we're still going to do it though. Yeah. So my series, Extraordinary Evening, where we highlight podcasts of the color that are doing amazing things within this space and within this work. I know that whenever I first entered the space of as a podcaster, I ran into a lot of difficulty finding people who look like me that would offer help and guidance. So I always had a lot of resentment early on because I felt like, you know, people that are in this space, I would hope that they would be more willing to help the people that come after them. And that wasn't my experience. So I always told myself, once I get to a point to where I'm successful enough, I'm going to make it my mission to do that. So that was the impetus for my podcast series, An Extraordinary Evening. We were able to do two of them prior to the pandemic. I use it as an opportunity to, because a lot of times there's, you know, what's going on right now? Podfest is going on right now. And you have podcast movement. And a lot of times creators of color don't necessarily feel like the content and the conferences and the seminars and the workshops and all that stuff necessarily pertains to their interests or that they necessarily feel welcome. So what happens is we end up not going, we end up not fellowshipping and getting those resources and tools and those things that help us move forward and build community. And so I figured, like, why don't I create something that specifically keeps us in mind and puts you in front of a lot of those people that you otherwise wouldn't be able to? I was thinking about doing it virtually, but I'm just not really a big fan of like the virtual stuff right now. And I really feel like building community is difficult when you're staring at a laptop. So I don't knock anybody who's continuing to do that. I think that that's amazing and it's dope. But I think for what it is that I have in mind, that's probably not the best platform to do so. So, but we will be resuming after on the other side of this.
Hell yeah. So I think you kind of touched on this in your answer to my last question about your event series, but what do you see as your reason for being who you are and where you are in the audio and podcast space?
I think early on, I saw myself as a creator, as a host, as a you know, producer, as you know, a content creator. But I think that as my clout and success kind of evolved, that I graduated from merely being, you know, a content creator to more of like an activist within this space as far as like, you know, addressing certain issues as far as disparities and things of that nature and fighting for, you know, the equality and equitable treatment of everybody within this space. So I would say that my position in the audio space is a freedom fighter. I want everybody to have the same, you know, opportunities. And I make it a point through all my work to ensure that I fight for that every day.
Do you want to shout out other folks who are doing work like you in the space? Want to amplify them a little bit?
Yeah, I definitely want to shout out the homie Anna. I forgot her last name.
Yeah, she's great.
She's doing amazing work in this space. I want to shout out yourself. You know what I'm saying?
I was not asking for that.
Ariel, this and that. You know what I mean? I definitely got to shout out you because you've always been big on community. You know, I'm always inspired by everybody doing, you know, amazing work. You know, Misha is killing it as a producer with, you know, not one, but two Obama podcasts.
Oh, my God. It's so cool.
and her own work with, yeah, I just talked to her the other day, and her own work with Tell 'Em I Am. And I mean, there's just so many, you know, there's just so many people doing amazing work. John Asante over at Pineapple Media. So yeah, there's just so many people that are just really trying to push this forward and really trying to help others along the way. And I commend them all for that.
Yeah. And we'll have a link in the show notes to all of the people that Jay mentioned so that you can check them out. So Jay, where do you see yourself in the podcast space in 5 years?
In 5 years, I'll probably be running a network. It might be sooner than 5 years, actually. But for me, I think part of my problem is that I might be a little too selfless and that I don't think I always focus on my own goals. And I always try to think about like how I can push the genre forward and help other people. So, I mean, I think 5 years from now, I definitely can see myself. I don't have a lot of aspirations to produce individual shows. I have too many things that I want to do for myself that I don't really want to be hired to execute somebody else's vision as a podcaster or a producer, rather. But I mean, I definitely would like to, you know, create other shows and oversee them and produce those. So I think, you know, just more content, finding more ways to help other people, doing what I can to address the class and race and gender gaps within the podcasting space. I think a big passion of mine right now is how, you know, the class system when it comes to entering this space, because it's a case of the haves and the have nots. Either you're an independent podcaster or you're at a network. And it's like, if you're trying to cross over, there's barriers such as, you know, knowing Pro Tools. And it's just like, that's going to cost you a couple hundred dollars to learn. And how many independent podcasters can afford to drop $400, $500, $600 on Pro Tools to learn something in hopes that they can get a job somewhere else? That's not even a guarantee. You know what I'm saying? So
just to have the proficiency.
Right. So it's just like, you know, there's a lot of class issues when it comes to that. There's always, you know, race and gender issues that have infiltrated into this space as well, which I'm sure you are well aware of. But I mean, you know, just 5 years from now, just continuing to make this space as equitable as possible.
And I cannot wait to hang out alongside you as you keep rising up in the ranks. And of course, I didn't mention this, but Jay, you are a member of our Earbuds Advisory Board. So thank you so much for being so involved and being a friend of the show, friend of the collective.
And friend of you, damn it.
Yes, of course. So Jay, before we close out, can you tell us where people can find you on the internet if they want to learn more about you or follow you?
You can check out the website for the podcast, theextraordinarynegroes.com. I'm still getting my life together as far as my personal website. But you can also, if you want to read what I have to say about other podcasts, you can always check out The Root.
Jay, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I look forward to watching you continue to shine.
And you as well, my friend. Take it easy.
Another huge thank you to Jay Connor for joining me in the virtual earbud studio powered by Squadcast for this interview. We really hope you enjoyed this week's interview, Earbuds. We'll be back next week with another chat with a passionate podcast-related person. If you are a passionate podcast-related person, or you know a passionate podcast-related person who would be a great fit for this segment of the show, please send them our way. You can reach me at Ariel@earbudspodcastcollective.org. Again, that's Ariel@earbudspodcastcollective.org. Did you know that we have earbuds swag now? Our shop is at TeePublic, and the way it works is that we upload the logos and you decide what piece of clothing you want that logo to go on. I'm wearing the crewneck sweatshirt right now. We will have a link to the shop in our show notes. And if you want to support Earbuds Podcast Collective and be cozy with an earbuds hoodie or a t-shirt, or maybe you want a mug or a hat, we even have masks, you can get yourself some swag. There are a few ways that you can stay in the earbuds loop between newsletters and episodes of this podcast. You can curate a list for us. Anyone can curate a list. There's a link to the curator's form in every newsletter that we send out. So get subscribed at earbudspodcastcollective.org. You can join our Facebook group. Head to Facebook and search for Earbuds Podcast Collective. In our Facebook group, we post discussion questions and links and more recommendations. And we also give space for you to talk about your podcast and ask questions, if you have any, about the production process. While you're on the internet, make sure you're following us on all the socials. We're at Earbuds Podcast Collective on most platforms. Feedback with Earbuds is written by Maya Rubin and me, Ariel Nissenblatt. It's hosted by me. It's mixed and put together by Daniel Turek, whose work you can find at robotslack.com. And our newsletter is edited by the amazing Abby Kleonski. Until next week, stay safe and happy listening.